Let's take a journey. Well, welcome to A Day's Journey podcast, where we will embark on a voyage of transformation towards healing, wellness, and trusting in the guiding light of Jesus. I am so thrilled to kick off season 5, where we will delve into the profound process of uprooting traumas and strongholds while paving the way for a life deeply rooted in Christ's love. Through heartfelt conversations and personal narratives, we will explore the power of faith, self-awareness, and vulnerability in overcoming life's challenges. Our mission is clear: to offer a nurturing space where healing flourishes and being authentic reigns supreme. Join me on this journey of becoming whole as we navigate the path towards flourishing and embracing our true selves in the comforting of embracing of Christ. Let's embark together on A Day's Journey podcast, where healing and wholeness awaits. I am your host, Miyoshi Walker. I am a faith coach, grief advocate, author, and speaker. Let's embark on this journey of healing together. Let's heal out loud. Hello, and welcome to another episode of A Day's Journey podcast. I am Miyoshi Walker, your host, and I am excited once again to be sharing the word of God and to have what he has given me and saying it in obedience. And so I'm excited for this season 5, where he's instructed me to speak about those rooted matters of our hearts and within our lives that we have, you know, experienced and dealt with over our year span of living. And so he wants us to uproot those things to become healed and whole and to offer forgiveness. And so with today's episode, Tilling the Soil, Heart Matters, I am going to speak on those things that are matters of the heart that were wounds or the past or the pain or the hurts or the memories. We're going to dig deep into our souls to search for those wounds because we must forgive. And so with the disclaimer, as I always start out with, I am sharing based on my own experiences through the praying of guidance and counseling and just research and reading over the years and time. I am not a professional. However, I am sharing my experiences and the tools that assisted me with my healing. So let's get into it. So again, today's topic is tilling the soil, heart matters. And so with the growth, our physical being is also linked to our spiritual being. And it has the potential of miraculous growth and physical growth that requires adequate nourishment and environment. And as I spoke or stated over the last couple of weeks, how we're rooted and those seeds that have been planted and those things that, you know, have allowed us to have the mindset and, you know, the heart posture of what we have. And so with toiling the soil in our heart matters, the spiritual growth requires the experience of personal freedom and forgiveness through making spiritual decisions, those commitments and actions. So our spiritual growth needs a proper environment and constant nourishment to flourish. And so I'm going to read Luke 8. Well, I would like for you to read Luke 8, 5 through 15. And with these verses, Jesus teaches us that both the seed and soil are necessary for growth, but the seed and soil need proper interaction to produce. And the seed is likened to the word of God. The soil is the life and the heart of each human being. And in these verses, the parable tells us that much seed is lost when it's falling onto unreceptive soil. So, however, the seed and soil are connected properly, but it has to be toiled and it has to fall on soil in order for it to grow. And that's where growth occurs. So what type of soil are you planted? Is your soil hard? Is it soft? Is it tilled? Is it, what type of soil are you planted? So let's discuss how we can recall some biblical verses about the importance of God's word. And over, God's word give instructions on guidance. God's word discloses his character and power. His word announces who he is, what he has done, and what he's going to do even now. But God cannot be separated from his word. So God's word is always a vehicle of his holy presence and the creative power. Just like in Genesis, God said, let there be light. There was light. And so when we fall into good soil, you know, we can look at it and we can either grow or not grow. We can yield 100-fold or we can just continue to stay the same. So if the soil is not conducive to growth, the seed of the word of God remains powerless and inactive. And so seeds cannot take root on the path where it's rocky or the ground is lacking moisture or it's lacking to be tilled. Seeds cannot flourish among weeds. So we know if you read Luke 8:11-15, it states that the hard path is a faithless heart and a heart that hears but pays no true heart to God's word. So it mentions that the rocky ground is a heart that initially receives God's words. I'm paraphrasing here, so I need you to go back and make sure that you read these verses, Luke 8:11-15. So, but later it loses endurance when trials and temptations come. And so the soil with the weeds is a heart filled with worldly cares and distractions that seem to swallow up God's word. And we can lack faith, lack that endurance, and lack those spiritual focus that indeed are negative elements to that fertile soil or that infertile soil. But however, we know all that these elements, when we face them every day, we need to be mindful that all of us at various times have had those hard paths, those rocky grounds and the soil with the weeds. When you go back and read the scripture in Luke 8:11-15. So Christ is the sower, but he is faithful. And when he sows a good seed in us, it's enduring for us to be able to live through his might and live through his living word and be able to overcome those obstacles that's been put in our place, whether it was knowingly and unknowingly of what was before us. And so the planted things eventually grow, whether it's the weeds or whether it's something beautiful, depending on the environment and how it's taken care of. The seed is how we will grow. And so we don't want to harbor those things to where those, you know, we can't weed bad things out, or we cannot, you know, uproot those things that is no longer for the environment that is placed in. And so in Ephesians 4:31, it says, rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. So the wounds and the past or the pain that hurts with the memories that we have to dig deep in our souls to search those wounds, because we must forgive. We must forgive those who hurt us. We must forgive ourselves. I know it's a process, but those deep wounds of loss and abandonment and hurt, abuses and et cetera, whatever it is that you experience from a person or that thing or that situation, we have to forgive, because I know that our wounds will heal differently. Just like an example, I'll use this analogy. The difference between healing between a burn and a cut. If you're cut, you can most likely treat it and put a Band-Aid on it, depending on how deep it is. Versus a burn, it has to be treated properly in order to heal so that it won't get infected or, you know, something else has to take place. But we have to know that each wound heals differently. So we have to address each of those things individually and not collectively, because of all those things that we experience. It is a process, and we have to ask God to help us with that forgiveness. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. So in today's episode, I'm going to discuss those five things that helped me. And so with the first thing I had to do, I had to acknowledge the hurt. It took me a while to realize this. However, without acknowledging the hurt, it festered. So I spent a pretty good part of my adulthood pretending and suppressing that it didn't happen or minimizing the effects that it had on me, but it had a huge effect on me. It suppressed a lot of things that I was, that I felt that I was missing out on, but I had to acknowledge the hurt. Once I became, you know, mature enough to understand what happened, why it happened, or not necessarily why it happened, but what happened, I had to acknowledge that hurt. So one, in the past, I had depression, as mentioned, those anxieties took over my life. And as I got older, I had to realize I had to confront them, to be able to forgive. The thing that helped me, I journaled and I began to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show me, to help me to navigate through it, to allow me to forgive. And I had to make a list of my grievances that took my energy and made me stressful. And so it took a lot for me to let go and allow forgiveness, because I wanted to hold on to the unforgiveness. One, because it was familiar. Two, I didn't know what to do with it. Three, I was afraid if I let go, what would happen if I didn't let it go properly. But I allowed the Holy Spirit to help me to navigate through it. It was like, you know, when we harbor on or hold on to it, it's like killing us inside slowly. It takes away our happiness, our peace, our thought process at times, because, you know, when we have that empty time or downtime, we're dwelling on it, or might come up if something trigger us or things that take place. So, you know, I was allowing those things to take away my happiness and my peace and my thought process. And I was like, you know, at a point in time, I said, I don't want to continue to live like this. It has to be more to life than this. It has to be more than life than pain and unhappiness or not having peace or things that's taken over my thought process. And then we have to talk about those things, talk about the people who hurt us. You know, I began to make a list and ask God and the Holy Spirit to show me on who and what I need to write on that list. I myself was even on that list, because you can't do this alone. If you need to do it with a professional or with someone that you trust, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. But the Holy Spirit definitely will lead you and guide you on how you need to, you know, either professionally seek the help or ask the Holy Spirit to help you navigate, to make the decision on how you need to heal from those hurts. And so, because until we acknowledge it, face it and feel it, we cannot forgive it. We have to acknowledge it. We have to face it. We have to forgive it, because if we don't, we won't forgive it. So if we don't acknowledge it, face it or feel it, we cannot forgive it. We cannot live our lives pretending like it never happened or that it didn't hurt us. We, you know, with so many people, we walking around pretending that, you know, we're such strong adults and it didn't affect us. But however, we're so broken inside. And then we go to those void fillers, as I mentioned, those void fillers of, you know, whether it's shopping or other type of vices that, you know, soothe the pain, alcohol, drugs, substance abuse, sex, whatever it may be. But we're walking around affected because we're not addressing it. We're not acknowledging it. We're not facing it. We're not feeling it. But we can't forgive what we don't acknowledge. And we have to talk about it. We have to talk about it, like I mentioned, to a professional, whether it's counseling, therapy. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you on how you need to address it in order to become healed from it. We have to also admit that it hurt and that it was painful and how it changed the course of our lives. We have to acknowledge, you know, I had to acknowledge the abandonment, the emotional neglect. I had to seek, you know, the reality of it. Again, I had to face it. I had to feel it. I had to acknowledge it so I can forgive it. And so I had to, you know, take time and I had to look at, you know, that person, and I had to forgive that what was difficult thing to do. I had to show a pure example of, you know, how I need to forgive, because just like the story of Joseph in Genesis, if you read chapters 37 through 50, it tells the story of Joseph. He is a person that is a great example of forgiveness. But I had to look at, you know, how I needed to forgive. I had to acknowledge my hurt. I had to acknowledge what happened. Again, I had to acknowledge it. I had to face it, and I had to forgive it in order, feel it in order to forgive it. And so here's a small snapshot of what took place with Joseph. And when you read Genesis 37 through 50, he was favored by his dad amongst his brothers and his siblings. His brothers knew that he was his dad's favorite, so they became jealous and hated him. And Joseph had a dream that they were in a field gathering grain. And he told his family about this dream, that they would bow down and worship him. And this made them angry. And remember, I'm just giving a small snippet, a snapshot of the story, but I really encourage you to go and read the story. It's a really good story. And so that after Joseph told them that they would bow down and worship him, they became angry. They went out into the field and to do what they needed to do. And Joseph was with them, but they wanted to leave him. They wanted to kill him. They plotted to kill him. But however, it was a brother that stated, we shouldn't kill him, but however, let's leave him. And so after his brothers wanted to leave him, they saw, you know, a group of people coming, and then they decided to sell Joseph into slavery. Can you imagine the very people that Joseph thought would protect him, that they abused him and sold him into slavery? Can you imagine how that felt? Because that was his brothers. He trusted them. He loved them. He thought they would protect him, but they sold him into slavery because, you know, of the jealousy and the things that had happened. And so when Joseph was sold into slavery, some things still happened and took place in his life. He went through some, you know, tumultuous times, but however, God does some miraculous things in his life as well. So as he was a slave and in prison, he eventually was placed in a powerful position, and he was the second powerful person in Egypt. So during this time, when he was in this position, a famine came amongst Egypt, and Pharaoh was in place as king. So Joseph was second in charge. So Pharaoh placed Joseph in charge of the food. Everyone in Egypt had to go to this palace in order to get food. And so with this happening in this famine that was in Egypt, Pharaoh placed Joseph in charge of the food. Everyone has to go to Egypt to stay alive to get food. But remember, Joseph is in charge of the food. Can you see the irony that happened? So Joseph is about to enter his forgiveness process during this time. Remember, he's been going on with life. He's been living. He's been operating. He's powerful. He's the most second powerful person in Egypt. He has a staff. He has people that look up to him. He probably said that, I'm over what happened in the past with my brothers. But it wasn't. And so as his family came to give food, Joseph noticed his brothers. And then he asked the staff to leave him alone with his brothers. So they didn't realize that it was Joseph. So he began to weep. Joseph realized here he couldn't keep faking it. He cried so loud that all the Egyptians and all the Pharaoh household heard him weeping and crying. And so the forgiveness came in verse 15, and it states he kissed all his brothers. And let me hold on. I'm gonna look it up, because I would like to read this verse to give the clarity. So in this verse of Genesis, he's asking for that forgiveness, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to paraphrase the verse, but I encourage you to go read it. he began to hug and kiss his brothers, and he wanted to talk to them afterwards. And then he requested to see his father. So his father was elated that he still was alive. So soon after, some years later, his father died, but he left instructions for each of his sons. So remember, I'm still paraphrasing here. So after his father died, his brothers became nervous about what Joseph may do to them, because they knew that, you know, once the father died, that it really was no say-so and Joseph would have their way. That's what they felt that would take place. So they went to Joseph saying in Genesis 50 and 16, so they went to Joseph saying, your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you want to say, Joseph. Ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrong committed and treated them so badly. To please forgive their sins of the servants of God, your father. So when their message came to him, Joseph wept, because he thought that, you know, the brothers thought that they were going to be treated the way that they treated Joseph. So his brothers then came and threw themselves down before Joseph's feet and began to worship him. So the dream that Joseph had came true. They bowed down and worshiped him. So they told them that we are your slaves, and, you know, they deemed that this is important. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. I am in the place of God. And so in verse 20, it states that you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done to save many lives. So there is showing that Joseph had forgiveness of what they done to him. And even though they put him in, sold him into slavery, he had to go through all of those things. But Joseph understood that even though the brothers intended to harm him, God intended it for good. And he still accomplished what was needed to be done in that time. So Joseph had to face it. He had to feel it. And he had to look at his family and forgive it, because he acknowledged it. So are you going to acknowledge those things that you have to face and feel in order for you to acknowledge it, in order for you to become whole, in order to know that no matter what, that you can forgive it or forgive that person, forgive those hurts, so that you can till that soil, so your heart do not have to be hardened. So the second thing I want to mention, because I'm going to talk about five things, but it's going to be a two-part series due to the time, and I'm trying not to be so lengthy in these episodes, but however, I'm just speaking as the Holy Spirit give it to me. So the second thing I want to speak about is surrender, and surrendering our right for payback. This is so huge. This is so, so huge. You know, when you have the feeling of payback, because when somebody hurt you or hurt us, we feel like, oh yeah, I'm gonna pay you back. I'm going to get you. I'm going to pay you back in some type of way. But that's not the right way to handle it. So we have to surrender our right for payback. You know, the feeling that I forgive you, but I'm going to pay you back. We cannot do that. So let's tie this verse to the process. I'm going to read Romans 12 and 17. Let me find it. Romans 12, 17 through 19. And it states this. It says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Verse 18, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Verse 19, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. So God will repay. He will handle our revenge. So we have to surrender our payback. We have to forgive. We have to surrender our payback, the payback that we want to do. First, as I mentioned, we have to acknowledge the hurt. Now we're surrendering our payback, because God will handle that. God says, I will repay. It is my revenge. I will repay, says the Lord. And so let's say, for an analogy of this, so let's say in a marriage, both have done some things that was unforgivable. One partner deemed to do something more extraneous than the other, but both of the both of them forgive, but one continued to use the situation for control and leverage. We're all probably guilty of this in some type of form or fashion, but however, we have to let loose the need to deem the right to punish the other person. I know that I've been guilty of this, and I ask God to show me how to relinquish that right and surrender that right for the payback, because what God can do is like unimaginable what he can do versus what I can do. You know, what I can do or we can do probably will be temporary comparing to what God would do for the punishment, because it's his will on how that would take place. So when you feel the need to punish and, you know, in the relationship, your marriage, and it can be very detrimental and dysfunctional. So we must surrender our right for payback. We have to relinquish that control to God. We have to be reminded that he will do the punishment, not us, but to leave it up to God. And so what I've learned with this, to surrender in the payback, I've learned that forgiveness is about freedom, my freedom. And so over time, you know, when I began to pray, Lord, you know, touch this person, or, you know, allow this to happen, but, or how could they do this? God began to say, what about what you did? So I had to learn about, you know, the forgiveness was about my freedom. It's about freedom, my freedom. It's about our freedom. And forgiveness is not letting them off the hook or justifying their actions, but meaning if I do forgive, that this is not saying I want, it's not realizing what they've done wrong. That's not our place. But with forgiveness, it does not guarantee that, you know, we will do life together or have reconciliation. It is for us to be set free, to be set free from those hurts, those pains, those things that have, you know, we deem to have done wrong. So we have to surrender the right for our payback. Allow God to repay. As mentioned in Romans 12, 17 through 9, he said, it is my revenge. I will repay, says the Lord. And so the third thing that I felt that was extremely difficult during this process of God softening my heart, tilling the soil of my heart on the forgiveness, is to pray for them. And I was like, pray for them? They wronged me. But God was like, in order for you to heal from this, you need to pray for your brother, your sister, whoever you have an ought against. Pray for them, call them out by name. And I was like, you have to be kidding me. But, you know, this is the dialogue that I did have between God, because I didn't understand how he asked me to pray for them. But Matthew 5 and 44, it says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So that definitely resonated, you know, praying for my enemies and praying for those who persecuted me, praying for those who wronged me, praying for those that did me wrong. Because in verse 44, it says, love your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So have you ever tried to pray for someone and you couldn't mention their name? I remember when God first told me to pray for, you know, someone or persons that harmed me, the person that, you know, molested me, or whether it was my parents, or whether it was, you know, just things that hurt me throughout my past. I was like, are you kidding me? You know, but it took me some time to see that, you know, I had to realize that I had to pray for them or that situation. And it took something from me that, you know, that couldn't be replaced, forgiven, or forgotten, that I forget, that I felt like at the time. But however, God let me know in order for me to truly heal, I had to call this person or that those hurts out by name and prayer. And this is for me. And this is for us, because those hurts turn into anger. Anger turns into bitterness. Bitterness turns into a hardened heart. And that begins to change the way that we live. And it takes the energy a lot of energy to produce, to have a hardened heart. And let me just say this, I, you know, dealt with headaches, migraines all the time, you know, certain heart palpitations, or when that person's name was brought up, I would feel some type of way. And I was like, I do not want to live like this. And so when God began to tell me to pray for them or pray for those hurts, and I did, he began to soften my heart. He began to allow me to see through the eyes that he has and have a heart as he has, because we are made in his image. We're not God, but he desires us to be made and to be a part of his image. So one, we must humble ourselves to ask God and in obedience, ask him to bless them and to come into full repentance to see what they did. And then we must show grace that God has shown us a million times over. I know it may be painful, but we must do it. And two, I want to read again, Luke 8:5-15, and it states this, and it's talking about the sore of, so 8:5-15, it states this, it states a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Verse 6 says, some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Verse 8, still other seeds fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And so going on, it says, when he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, the knowledge of secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that through seeing they may not see, through hearing they may not understand. In verse 11, it says this, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and take away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on rocky ground are ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. In verse 14, the seed that fell among thorns stand for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life, worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Verse 15, the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and persevere, produce a good crop. So we have to know that seeds that fall on good soil produce a good crop, because if our heart is not, you know, in good ground, it will not produce anything good. So when we begin to pray for that person or those hurts, it's like tilling that soil one layer at a time. And when I did this, my heart began to get softer and softer, eventually allowing God to plant seeds of forgiveness, seeds of healing, and so that I can grow in his likeness, and so that I can forgive and be able to be whole and heal. That's where the hurt is darkness, but it can be beautiful if you allow God to heal you and till the soil of your heart, to allow that forgiveness and healing to take place. Because when we live like this, we can have that peace and joy and the fruits of the spirit that is mentioned in his word. We don't have to live with frustration, anxiety, tense, and being unhappy all the time. We can be set free from it. I know it's a painful process, but if you pray for that person and those hurts, watch what will happen. And so I'm going to end today's episode there, and I will pick back up on next week on the other mentions. And so here's the takeaways. Here are the takeaways mentioned for tilling the soil, your heart. One, again, acknowledge the hurt. Acknowledge the hurt before God. So we have to stand honestly acknowledging our pain before God through prayer and reflection. Ask God to bring those hurts into the light of his presence, allowing him to comfort and heal you and to lead and guide you on how you need to navigate your healing by acknowledging those hurts, whether it's through counseling, therapy, what it's needed for you. The second thing is surrender the right for the payback. And when we surrender this right for the payback, God's sovereignty, when we surrender the desire for payback to God's sovereignty and justice, trust that he sees and knows your pain and will bring out and about justice in his time and his way. And by releasing your vengeance, you open yourself to his healing and his peace. And the third thing, when we pray and we ask for we pray for them and ask for forgiveness and healing for them, that's where the restoration and transformation can take place. So instead of harboring that resentment, pray for the person who hurt you. Ask God to work in their hearts and lives and bringing about the repentance and the reconciliation and healing for you and that person. And that necessarily does not mean that you have to reconnect or reconcile with them, but you can forgive them. So you're praying for them, praying for that for yourself in order for you not to hold or harbor that resentment, and pray for the person that hurt you. And so the other thing is, I want us to do an exercise. So here's an exercise that I want us to do independently. So I would like for us to take some time. And if you can't do this alone, I'm going to ask that you definitely pray and ask God to, whether if you need to bring it up in counseling or therapy, or if you can write it in your journal, on your notes, or however that you see fit to release it, you know, reflect on the person or the situation that you need to forgive. Write down your thoughts and feelings about what happened and how it made you feel and the impact that it had on your life. And so we're going to identify those emotions that we experienced that was related to that hurt or that betrayal. You know, are you feeling angry, resentment, any sadness or mixed emotions? Write down those emotions and allow yourself to fully acknowledge and validate them. And then practice your compassion to yourself and to that person, acknowledging that it's okay to feel hurt or upset about what happened. And then you can have that self-compassion for yourself and compassion for that person, just as you would to, you know, a friend going through a difficult time. No, it may not be easy. No, it's not going to be an easy task. And that's why I'm mentioning, if you have to, you know, do this with a professional, please do so. And if you can do it independently, you know, write those things out. And then the next thing is to try to shift your perspective by considering the humanity of a person who hurt you, and reflect on the possibility that that person may have been acting out in their own pain, their own fear, their own ignorance, but this does not excuse their behavior. And it can help cultivate empathy and understanding. And then we have to choose that forgiveness. We have to decide for ourselves to forgive the person for their action. And this doesn't mean that you're condoning what they did or forgetting about the hurt, but rather releasing yourself from the burden of carrying that resentment and anger. So you're going to affirm your choice to forgive. And even if it's a process that it takes time, take your time. And so I want you to release that negative energy that's associated with the hurt, because I know that, you know, the heaviness, the migraines, the things that I feel like I was carrying around on my shoulders, I wanted to dissolve it and not carry it anymore. I wanted to allow myself to experience a sense of release and a lightness that I released that burden of unforgiveness. And when I began to do that, my life began to have a different outlook in my health, in my mindset, and my vision, to where I knew where God wanted me to go and how he wanted me to do things. And so I had to practice that gratitude, and I had to begin to cultivate a sense of gratitude in those lessons learned and those opportunities that come with the forgiveness. I had to focus on the positive things in my life and the relationships that bring me joy and that fulfillment, and not on that person or those hurts. And repeat as much as needed, you know, that forgiveness, you know, is a journey that can take more than one time to do. It's a more than a one-time event. And be patient with yourself. Show grace to yourself. Be willing to revisit this exercise as needed, especially if feelings of resentment or anger resurface. So remember that ultimately it's about freeing yourself from those negative emotions that hold you back and reclaiming your own peace and well-being. And so again, I encourage you to allow God to till the soil of your heart matters. And again, this is a part of part one of that, and I will complete part two on next week. Here are a few resources. Please purchase the Heal Out Loud Grief Journal by Miyoshi Walker, where you can find on Amazon.com. Also, please leave a review once you have ordered it and received it. Also, please listen to A Day's Journey podcast on Apple and Spotify or your podcast platform of choice. But remember, please leave a review and share. Thank you for listening to another episode. So, dear friends, step in and feel the gentle embrace of our community as we walk together on the path to healing and wholeness. Make sure you tune in every Tuesday by 4 p.m. to listen to Season 5 of A Day's Journey podcast. Don't forget to set those reminders, share, and leave a review. You can listen to A Day's Journey podcast on all podcast platforms. You can listen on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, and more. Please remember to join our community on Facebook at A Day's Journey Podcast or Instagram at A Day's Journey Podcast. Or you can send an email to adaysjourneypodcast@gmail.com if you have any questions or would like to speak with Miyoshi.